Thanks, Chima. It's beautiful to be in God's presence this morning, and God is speaking already, and we thank God for that. Again, just briefly, I just want to give opportunity, even if there's one, just opportunity, divine appointments. Divine appointments. That's something that we're just going to keep saying, hey, our God is alive. He's speaking, he's working, he's moving. And as Christians, we just have to be about our normal business even. And God will bring stuff across our path. A couple of hands already. No, there's Jill here. Yeah, come Jill. And then Ponley. Two will do because time's ticking away. Ponley, you come as Jill speaks.
Hi. For most of you that know, I work in a school, a senior school. I'm not a teacher, but I'm involved in admin. Most of the staff, all the old staff that have been there, know me and Glenn. Glenn used to go in, do assemblies. He was a governor at one stage. So we well know. They know where we stand. They know that we're in the ministry and things. And we've got a site manager, Andy, and he often comes. When he's on the nights where he's locking up, he'll come into reception and sit and talk to me. And I think he's quite curious, so he'll ask, what's a pastor do, and all this kind of thing. And he just didn't quite get it. Actually, he's responsible. We needed 30 chairs for a dedication, and he gave me the chairs, and they're still here, so he's on our side, but he's not Christian. But so he came to me again last week. We were having the DFE in on Friday, so the head goes crazy and everything, and everything last minute. And he'd been called to paint the library. We just had half term, so he was really annoyed, and he really had the amp that it weren't asked in half term that he was having to do it. Really rushed. But he came to me on Friday, and he said, really in this amp he was. He said, but I've got to tell you, Jill, he said, when I was in the library sorting the books out and trying to tidy up, he said this book fell off the shelf, which gave him the even more. And when he's gone to pick it up, it was a Bible, but the Bible had fallen open. And when he picked it up, he didn't close it. He just picked it up with his fingers in the middle, and he turned it round. And he'd been telling me he was so annoyed about all this running late and all this. He keeps telling me he's looking for a new job, you see. So then he's picked this Bible up, and he's turned it round, and he went, job? And then he's come to me, and he said, Jill, he said, him up there really must be looking after me, he said, because I've opened this Bible, and it says job. So then I could explain, Andy, I went, well, we would call it Job. And then I went on to say, tell him about Job and everything. But there you go. He does come and talk to me when he locks up. So I don't think that's the end of the conversation. I pray that he doesn't get a job before he comes to know Jesus. But there you go.
Hi, church. So Pastor has been going on about divine encounters for the past few weeks. And I must confess, I never prayed and asked God for divine encounters. So Monday I woke up and I was, God, please give me a divine encounter. It's been so long I spoke to someone about Jesus, you know, just order my steps. So I was off work on Monday, so I went to get a haircut. I went for a really long walk. Went to get a haircut in Romford Town Center. And I was strolling back on Main Road. I was listening to a podcast as I was walking. And when I got close to Upper Brentwood Road, so the houses around there, the neighborhood, it's kind of like upper middle class. It's not rough or anything. So I was going, and this young dude just passed by me, and he said something. I thought I heard what he said. I was like, nah, that can't be right. So he stopped, and he said it again. Then I pulled out my headphones. Then he said it again. Do you want to buy weed? And then I looked at, I was like, me? Do I want to buy what? Do you want to buy weed? I was like, no. Then I was like, yeah, your friends, do they want me? I'm like, do I look like someone? I just got a haircut, for Christ's sake. You know, so when when I got over my shock that someone actually thinks, and it was like a really nice looking young chap. I was like, no, I don't have friends that, at least not that I know of, that smoke weed. You know, I was like, okay, then I just stopped, and I was like, wait, hang on, young man. Are you telling me that you sell weed? He was like, yes. And I was like, why? He said, need to make a quick money. I was like, why do you need quick money? I can understand if you need money, but why quick money? He said, you know, he just needs quick money. But I was like, you know, selling weed can get you into trouble. And interestingly enough, as I was saying that, across the road, there were two coppers just strolling on the other side of the road, walking past. It was like, in life, you got to take risks. I was like, yeah, but not this kind of risk. This is stupid, you know. So I chatted a bit with him. I was like, look, you're obviously a bright young man. You know, you don't need to do this. You know, you've got a bright future ahead of you. You know, and I just sort of look. I must confess, I didn't say God, you know, but I just had a chat with him that, look, you've got a bright future ahead of you. This thing is just going to get you into trouble, at the least, and it's just not worth it. You know, I was like, why don't you go get a job? He was like, well, actually, he's got a job that he's in construction and he's a plumber. And I was like, for Christ's sake, I have friends that are in construction, and these guys are minted. You know, they make a lot of money from construction, you know. So I just encouraged him that, look, don't waste your life doing this. Work hard. There's a great future ahead of you. You know, I just encouraged him. And he was nodding. And, you know, when we finished, he was like, you know, thank you so much. You know, and he gave me a fist bump, you know. And then we parted ways. And when I got home to Kenya, I was like, can you imagine? Someone thought that I have friends that smoke weed. And, you know, Kemi just told me that, look, dude, you just sowed a seed. You know, you don't know the next person he's going to talk to and all that. And we've been praying for him ever since that, look, Lord, we sow the seed. You know, let him encounter people that will lead him on the right path.
Amen. Praise God. I forgot to tell you, Pony, I did get a phone call from the police. And they showed me a picture. I said, do you know this man? We were just walking past the street and he was talking to one of the drug dealers. More stories next week. Amen. More encounters next week. And, you know, I thank God as well for the divine encounters he's been giving to us as we've been, you know, doing the Zarak as well. It's just such a blessing. So please, more. Be prepared to tell. And not only just here, but to each other as God works through you. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47 says these words. Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold properties and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. Amen. Very familiar words. And as we have a membership service this morning, I'll just take a break from looking at end times, just to really reinforce togetherness. If you remember, when we were back in, not Liberty, what was it called again? Marshall's Park. And one Sunday, everything was going fine. And then the next Sunday, churches across the country were closed. COVID hit. And then we had to go online. And it just so happened that I read these words. And I said, this year, it's really important that we are together. And then COVID blew us apart. COVID hit for 2 years. Church was blown apart. And we had to get online and connect in a different way. During that period, we lost people. End of those 2 years, we'd lost at least a third of the congregation. And that wasn't unusual. That's happened to churches across the country, probably across Europe. Various reasons. We know that some passed away. They went to be with the Lord. Some moved away. 2 years is a long time, particularly in London. And people move on, and some moved away. Some maybe got into bad habits and stopped coming to church. No real reason. And some just thought, you know, this is a convenient time to make a break. Let me try another church. All kinds of reasons why, you know, things changed. And then when we came out of it, we came here. We got here. And we thank God for here, do we not? To have Chris, who's a born-again Christian, and to trust us with this building so that we have access alone to this building and the responsibility of holding the keys even. So we thank God for that, because that's never happened when you hire a place, certainly a school. That's down to trust, and we thank God for that. And so this has been a blessing. And then when we came back together, of course, it started with a few of us. It wasn't as it was before. You know, before maybe 200, 220. When we first came back, it sounded like 100. And then we've just begun to rebuild, and time has gone. But in that process, new people came in. New people came in. Some who'd seen things online, the 2 years that we were online. Some who themselves were caught up in that change of period of those two strange years. And they themselves were looking for something different, or they'd moved town or whatever. And some of those are you, praise God. So we are now in that phase of having to combine the old with the new. And an interesting thing happens, because that loss, that pattern that happened then, we think, well, it's done and dusted now. It didn't actually. It didn't stop there, because with that fracturing of X amount of people disappearing, what happened then as well was that relationships that had been established were also blown apart. So if your good friends are now no longer here, you could still be alone in this service, because they've gone. They've gone. And the challenge is for us to recognize that as a body, that fallout hasn't just stopped. It still can continue, because there can still be well-established members here who might feel alone because their friends are no longer here, whether they've passed on or moved on. And that fracturing still goes on. So, what am I saying? It's really important when we talk about together that we work on it. Are you prepared to work on being together? Because I'm actually excited about the congregation. I'm excited that there's folks here who've journeyed with us, some for 20 years almost, some for 15 years, some for 10 years, from school to church building to a different school. And that's not easy when you've not got your own place. And they're still here. And they form that foundation on which others can be added. So I thank God for that. I thank God for those who are here who are new. Because with them has come a fresh enthusiasm, fresh skills, and a fresh desire to make something happen for the Lord. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, let's do it together. Let's work on that. Relationships don't just happen. They may take some effort as well along the way. And so it's important that we work on this. When we look at this passage, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. The world in which we live has become very individualistic. If you remember back when Donald Trump was running for the American presidency, and his main rival was Hillary Clinton. And her slogan was, we can be stronger together. And they even wrote a book, her and her co-runner, on it. As it turned out, they lost. And Trump won. And he's the most individualistic individual out there. What he says goes. Doesn't care. Doesn't care. He'll just say what he wants to say, do what he wants to do. And it was kind of a pattern of what's been happening in the West. Individualism has gone rampant. People want to be what they want to be. They want the freedom to do what they want to do, whether it be morally, whether it be marriage-wise, whether it be business, whether it be mentally, whether it be emotionally. Individualism. Hey, you can be what you want to be. I want to do what I want to do. And individualism, I was going to say individualism trumped togetherness. But the Bible is the opposite. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not just about me. As a Christian now, I belong to someone else. Ecclesiastes 4:12, a three-strong cord can't be broken. One string can easily be broken, snapped, but you intertwine three and it becomes stronger. You are better combined. Hebrews 10:25, don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And in fact, unity is put across as being really important. It makes all things possible. Genesis 11:6, the Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth, and they stopped building the city, which was Babel. Yeah? And that's people who weren't following the Lord. They're just getting on with their own life and doing their own thing. But yet they were together. And with that togetherness, that unity, they were accomplishing some incredible stuff. So that God says, this is not good. I'm going to scatter them. Because my plan is for the world to be populated. Now, if that's true for unbelievers, how much more relevant is it for believers? That together we can accomplish more. We can accomplish more. We used to do a game. I was thinking about it this morning, but I thought it might get a bit too dramatic because I know some of you get a bit wild with some of these games. But we used to do it in the youth because I love the rough kind of games. And this one is where you put a rope, a circle, and then in the circle, we put the boys in the circle, and then the girls outside the circle, put them into teams, and then they had to just get the guys, pull them out of that circle. As soon as they got them over that line, then those guys were out, and it's the team who could do it quickest, empty that. That would have been a good game for this morning, amen? How many would like to have done that one? Right there. And, of course, it was just hilarious. Wow. Some of these girls, they just went absolutely crazy. But the technique of the guys who could stay in the longest was if you stayed there on your own, standing in the circle, then you were just easy prey. They'd come in, pull you out. But if they hugged together, combined, or if they hunched on the floor and just intertwined with each other as a big bunch of guys, they were hard to pull out of that circle. And that's where the violence began. It's a good illustration, and it was a good game. But the point it's making is very real. We are better together. So let me just say just some simple things from this passage. It says here they were together in terms of devotion. Verse 42. To teaching and to fellowship, they were totally committed to one another. That's what pulls us together. We have Christ in common. And we want to know about him. We want to grow in our knowledge of him. And we can help each other grow in that through the preaching of the word, through teaching, through mutual encouragement as well. No half-heartedness. Together in terms of devotion. They were together in terms of belief. They stuck to the apostles' teaching, it says. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they did not actually really belong to us, for they had belonged to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained. Speaking of people who went off at a tangent, which was different from the things that the apostles were teaching them. But they heard it and thought, oh, that sounds good. That tickles me here. I'll go for that. And they diverted and were pulled away. Be careful what you read online. Mike said a great sermon on that, so I won't waste any time on that. But you can easily be deceived by words that sound great and that give you a quick fix, a quick income, a quick way forward, but actually are not God's way. And they will lead you into trouble. But these were together in terms of their belief. Let me mention our beliefs again, and I'll rattle through these. The Bible. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, inspired by God. Amen? It's the supreme authority by which we stand. In terms of the Trinity, we believe in the Godhead. One God. There is only one God. But he's revealed himself as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. It's something that blows our minds. And some people think, oh no, there's three God. No, there's only one God. But he's revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each revelation is personal. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not an it. It's he. Personal. And each has their function. The Lord, Father, as the mastermind behind creation and salvation. Jesus as the agent of salvation. He made it happen through his sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit, in terms of carrying out the will of the Father and the Son in our lives. Because he, unlimited being spirit, can live in each one of us. We carry God in us. We are the face of Christ. So what we do to others and say to others matters. Because they will make their judgment about God based on us. And too many times you hear, oh yeah, I went to that church and, hypocrites. Say one thing and then live another. Or they're not very nice. And that's the impression they have of God because of us. So it's really important. The Savior. We believe in the true and proper deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're talking about someone who is not just a man. He's God. The revelation of God. God coming amongst us, living amongst us. The Word became flesh and moved and lived amongst us. And we believe in his substitutionary death. He took our place. His atoning sacrifice through his Christ, he made us at one with God. We believe in his bodily resurrection. It's not a myth. It's a reality. And it will never be disproved. They will never find a body there because there's no body there. He's alive. Hallelujah. And we believe that he's coming back. As we've been looking in these past few couple of months. He's coming back. And he's coming back for his church. Those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus in faith. And are seeking to follow him. The Holy Spirit. We believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and from the Son. and through whom God gives to us wisdom. He gives us leading. He gives us guidance. You have that thermometer in you now which tells you right, wrong, do this, don't do that. It's in you. It's just there because of his presence in your life. Follow his ways. I urge you, follow his ways. If you're going to be happy and fulfilled, follow his ways rather than doing your own thing and laying him aside. The church, we believe in spiritual unity, in the priesthood of all believers. Hallelujah. What is that? The priesthood of all believers? Back in the Old Testament, you had the priest, and the priest stood between man and God. He made the offering for the nation, for their sins. And God spoke through him to the people. But now, when Jesus died, the curtain, look at it. Can you imagine me trying to rip this? But their curtain was 3 times thicker, much bigger, much longer. And yet, when Jesus died, it was rent in two. The curtain that was separating the Holy of Holies, which only the priest could go into, that was rent in two when Jesus died, signifying, hey, no barriers now. There's nothing between you and God. You can connect with him simply by talking now. Prayer. What a privilege. Forgive us, Lord, for not making better use of prayer in our lives when it's a privilege that we now have because of Jesus. To be able to come directly into God's presence at any moment, any time. No hindrance. It's only us that separate it. We believe in the ministry that God has for his church. The release of gifts, apostles and evangelists and prophets and pastors. Great to see Kelly. She's a great evangelist. She loves Jesus, but she loves people. She loves to see people coming to know Jesus. That's what puts her out on the street. Not her husband. The ordinances. We believe in baptism of believers by immersion in water. Full immersion. And that's what we practice. There's a service coming up shortly. There's still time. Palm Sunday. We'll be going through those doors into the swimming pool. And we'll be baptizing some folks. Praise God. But there's still... If you know Jesus and you've not yet been baptized, talk to me. There's still time. That's just going to be, it's Palm Sunday. It's only two or three Sundays away. We believe in the commission that Jesus embraces, God embraces the needs of the whole man, and he's sent us out. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. That's our commission. That's what he's asked us to do. His followers. Let's do it. Amen. Let's do it. Let's get some of these divine appointments. And I pray, Father, for more divine appointments for each one of us. So that there'll be too many stories to tell on a Sunday morning. We'll be just thanking God for lives touched through people like us. The coming King. Jesus is coming back. Physically, visibly, the world will know when he comes back. But it will be too late then. So while there is time, let's work. Let's tell. Together in terms of belief. Together in terms of fellowship. The word koinonia, that's what it means, fellowship. But it has a number of meanings. It means social intercourse, social getting together. We need that. Partnerships. When two people get married, it's a partnership. Both have skills and talents. And the idea is when you get married, it doesn't make you less. It makes you more. You're able to do more together. It's a partnership, your joint skills. Participation. It means as well. It doesn't mean that there's just a bunch of people gathered together and they come together and then they go away. No, it means active involvement and interaction. Communion, sharing with one another's thoughts, emotions, possessions, going deeper than the surface. and help, benefaction. That's the words it means, koinonia, where you help one another. Together in terms of fellowship, that's what we need more of. So friends, make friends. Amen? Make friends. Make new friends. Don't just stick to the old ones. Invite people around to your house. Doesn't have to be for a meal, particularly if you can't cook. Can just be for a sandwich. Can be for a drink. It could be the beginnings of great things. Do whatever. Listen, we've postponed the quiz. We mentioned about the quiz, but there wasn't any interest in it. So we're going to do it a bit later on. And I want that quiz to be full, because it's going to be a great time of fellowship. And we're going to come around it a different way, which you'll hear about, not today, but in a couple of weeks' time. When we get those opportunities of coming together, whether it be the Easter feast, which will be Saturday, Easter Saturday, we'll be having the feast right here, what the call will be with us, Tough Talk. Tough Talk will be with us, lifting their weights, testifying about how they met Jesus, but they're also lifting weights, so it's a chance for the macho men to do a bit of weightlifting. Okay, Temi. Yeah, macho Temi as well. Macho Temi. And women. Yeah, it doesn't have to be men. Yeah. Lifting weights and stuff, you can have a go. That's going to be a great evening. But when these opportunities come, take advantage of them. Say, this is my church. This is my church. What's going on here? I want to be part of it. And then together, things happen. Things happen. But if we're constantly pulling apart, it's difficult to motor forward as a church. Together in terms of prayer, in terms of worship, in terms of giving, in terms of location. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. When we come together, God's promise is this: where one or two are gathered, there I am in the midst. Anything can happen. Praise God. So church should be exciting. Exciting because we don't know what's going to happen next. And the only way that is if we allow the Spirit of God freedom to do his work. So Father, thank you for this membership service. Thank you for the gift. It says in the scriptures that you put the lonely in families. And we are now the family of God. The moment we accept Jesus, we belong to that family. And in a smaller sense, we belong to the local family here at Romford Ealing. Just one amongst many churches, Lord God. But we pray, Lord, that this gathering, not just here today, but the gathering of Romford Ealing Church, will grow and produce much fruit. Much fruit for people coming to know Jesus, divine appointments, and in whatever way, whether it be the programs we put on, whether it be the individuals in their workplace, whatever way, that we'll be fruitful in seeing people coming to know you, Lord God. But we'll also grow in the grace of you and the knowledge of you, but also in the knowledge of one another. We need friendship. We need relationship. So I pray for home groups. I pray, Lord God, for the different groups, the different functioning groups in the church, whether it be practical, whether it be the worship team, whether it be those who put the chairs out, whether it be those who prepare things beforehand, whether it be the media team, whether it be the ladies getting together, whether it be the men getting together. Lord, may we commit ourselves and say, yes, this is what my church is doing. I'm going to be part of it. And then we know that empty spaces will be filled. Empty functions will be filled, and the church will begin to motor, not hindered by lack of, but propelled by the excess of participation, love, and commitment. So hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Bless your church. Can I just say,